Log Talk Radio.
The following is intended only for mature audiences.
You gotta love the intro. You gotta love the intro. Welcome to Unscripted Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Karen Ashley. And you know Unscripted Radio is your guilty pleasure. And with me today are my besties, my love, the very talented cast of Unscripted Radio. We've got Mike J, we've got Jeffrey Emmett, and Katrina Johnson is somewhere. She's MIA. I think she went to go have a date with a Power Ranger. I'm not sure.
I'm here. I made it. I'm good. I made it.
You're here. I know. You guys are way too talented to be on a radio show. You need to have your own reality show. Oh, but you do. We're in the middle of shooting Unscripted Reality. Such a great thing.
And as you guys heard last night, I still need a phone charger. So if somebody wants to go onto our website and donate $25 so I can get one, we'd really appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
www.unscriptedradio.com/donate for Jeffrey Emmett phone charger.
I really need a phone charger.
So if you're listening in the LA area, maybe you can just swing by and let us borrow yours. That'd work too.
Even if it's just for like an hour, like he'll get a full charge in about an hour.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been a hoot. I can't keep it alive.
You've been working on that tan. You sure are looking golden.
Who are you talking to, me or Michael?
Michael's trying.
What's oh gosh, everybody's cutting out now. Oh dear.
Is he here or is he not here? What's going on?
I'm here.
This episode? Are you here? Okay, so what?
I'm
complimenting your tan, Michael.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, it's been a real pleasure just being able to get naked for most of Los Angeles and strut my stuff and get a tan. I appreciate it.
I've seen the donkey in person, and I don't think I'm ever going to be okay.
No, even when she's in Pasadena and we're in Malibu, she's still getting nervous. She's got to lock her bedroom door at night.
I know. I'm like, yeah. I keep waking up, donkey. My boyfriend doesn't know what the heck is going on with me. It's like I have Tourette's in my sleep. Get that thing away from me. Oh, sorry. I wake up in a cold sweat and, like, running out my bed like Jaws is coming after me.
My turn. Joe just brought me some appetizers for dinner. He just brought me some deviled eggs. This could be bad. I feel sorry for everybody that's got to stay in this house tonight.
Why would
set
himself up like that? My thing. We need to compliment Joe because Joe has been, that's the sport. He has spent his honeymoon shooting a reality show. And it's not right and it's not fair. How did Whitney used to say, it's not right, but it's okay. He's going to make it anyway.
I'm going to make it anyway. Touch the key. Oh, wait, that's... Sorry.
Joe has been ecstatic. He's got to be on... He's got to be in the show. He's got to see all the behind-the-stuff. He's got to meet all these Power Rangers. And, you know, it's just everybody, Jake and everything. Like, it's been kind of nuts. Like, it's been a whirlwind trip for him.
I know, listen,
you're happy,
poor Joe.
You're loving L.A., don't you?
Hey, ain't no poor Joe nothing. This has been, like, a wet dream of his since he's been 13, okay?
Joe, he's so funny.
Oh my gosh, don't choke on a deviled egg. That is just not a good look.
Like, no. I didn't get to chew it, it just went down my throat.
Ew.
It just slid right in.
Listen, I think you're on the wrong show. This isn't Deep Throat and Deviled Egg.
I know, where the hell is Deep Throat McGee? Is anybody here?
I am. Sorry.
What is it she's doing, Miss Ashley?
I wasn't listening. I accidentally tuned out for 1 second. I apologize.
Oh, you can't take a leak.
I had someone come up, the neighbor from next door came up and, like, started a whole conversation with me. So I had to, like, I didn't want them to be on the radio. You know we have a crotchety neighbor next door. I'm trying to keep the peace and let make sure they don't know that we're shooting a reality show in this rented home.
Right.
And you guys get your deposit back. That's why I'm trying to keep the peace here. Sorry. What did I miss? I was thanking Joe for being such a sport.
He said, yeah, great. I'm just excited to be here. Like, he's so enthusiasm. He is such a tool.
I know, but you know what? Who can say on their wedding anniversary that they got to meet a whole slew of Power Rangers, they got to go to L.A., they got to shoot a reality show? I mean, I know a lot of guys who would change places with him.
Oh, I know. Well, and I was so excited. I was kind of afraid that you were going to press charges. You know, when he met you, like, he was just, you know, he was just like, he was so devastated when he, you know, when I told him that you weren't going to be able to make the wedding.
I know.
So
I know.
He's been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I thought he was going to geek out and be like, blah, 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 Power Rangers, blah, 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 Power Rangers, blah, 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 Power Rangers. But he's been okay.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was awkward when he asked to put on your helmet.
Yeah, that was a little weird, but, you know.
Yeah, that was a little odd. And then, you know, he asked you to take off your clothes. So then it got a little more odd.
Yeah, it was a little strange, that one. But, you know, I'm okay.
A little bit.
I just figured he was being friendly, you know. I just figured that's what it was. So I shook that off. I shook that off and said, I will not take off my clothes. And you can put on my helmet. So, but other than that, I mean,
oh my God.
You know, Joe seemed fairly normal.
It's definitely insane.
Hello.
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the phone. What's up? Yeah. I'm on a radio show. Come on. Sorry, guys.
Hold on. Oh, apparently.
Right.
Did I not pay my cell phone bill? That's my number.
Okay, I love it.
Right. Mike didn't pay a cell phone bill?
Like, and who the hell is LA here? This kid.
Well, that's
it's such a mess.
I get a new flipper tomorrow. Jesus.
I needed some milk for my
stroke. Okay. So, anyway, this is Ashley.
Anywho.
I'm excited. So, how was it? Like, I mean, you know, the whole, like, Power Ranger reunion Morphicon thing. Tell everybody.
It was actually as wonderful as you could imagine. I've seen, you know, some of these guys, you know, before, you know, and we hang out as much as we can, but obviously we all have really busy schedules. So to get us all in the same room is wonderful, and, you know, a lot of them hadn't seen David in a minute. I luckily get to see David all the time and get to talk to him all the time. So David Yost made an appearance at Morphicon, which was really amazing. So, I mean, it was great. Like, I mean, you can't, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, I think we're all a part of a family that, you know, we'll always be a part of no matter what we do. We could do 80 more shows, and we're still going to be a part of this wonderful piece of history. So for me, it was a wonderful day. It was a very busy day. Thousands of fans. Morphicon grows every year, so it was a ton of people. Like, I mean, have you seen so many people?
It was kind of intense. Like, I mean, I thought I knew in my head and I was prepared, and I wasn't at all.
Right. And all of them want to, like, talk to me and want to, like, you know, they all want a moment of your time, and it's hard to make sure you pay attention to everyone and give them what they need. So for me, it was like, that was my biggest concern. Like, I wanted to make sure they had spent this money to come out here to meet us. I wanted to make sure that they had an amazing memory of what they, you know, like, they felt like all my savings, all my money, all the things that I planned for the last 2 years to get to MorphaCon was worth it. That's what I wanted for them, you know, as fans. So it was like, I wanted to talk to everybody. I wanted to, you know, and it was cool because they were recognizing Katrina, and I mean, it was like, it was just insane. It was a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that you guys got to see some of that, you know, and you got to be a part of it, too.
It definitely was insane.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not sure, but David might be a little upset with me.
Why? What did
well,
you do,
you
Jeffrey?
Know, so what happened was, you know, I
See?
Always had a thing for the nerds. I may have drooled a little bit and made a comment because he was actually the first Power Ranger I tried to get on the show, as most
mm-hmm.
people know. And he told me after listening to some of the shows to message him back after we evolve a little more.
Well, how were the shows back then, in his defense?
Well, in our defense, you came on a week later.
Okay. I came on a week later? I just listened
yeah,
to your show, though. Before you had, I had never listened to it.
Oh, so you thought we were all at something.
I didn't even care. I was just kind of like, I'm going to do these kids a favor, and why not? And so then when I got on, you guys were composed and you guys were cool and you are rough around the edges, but I thought you had something. You had a good idea. I liked your energy.
And here we are.
And here we are.
I know. What are the odds of that? Like, it still blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
this has all happened.
Uh-huh. Here we are.
It's very trippy to me.
I know.
Yeah, and
quite,
it really only
quite,
all
yeah.
happened because of really Facebooking you. Like, it's
right.
very trippy. And you coming on, and what are the odds that you're like, yeah, I'll come back. Like, oh, yeah.
I know. And then I think when I didn't balk at your idea, when you said, I have this idea for a reality show. And I think even in your mind at that point, you were kind of like, you know, you kind of were, like, hesitant about your own idea. And I was like, okay, great. What are you thinking? And then you
yeah.
kind of told me. And then, like, the next week I came up with this whole plan of, like, us all coming together. And I wrote up a whole, like, I never forget what I wrote. But it was, like, a whole proposal of us coming together and taking the show to the next level. And I was like, that needs to be our hook. That needs to be our thing. Like, we need to take the show to the next level, and that's the angle we're going to go for. And I think even at that point, you were like, really?
I
you
was,
even were surprised.
Yeah, like, I was kind of in shock, yeah. And it's
yeah.
all along, you kind of just surprised me. Like, anything that's like, you want to do this? What about this? Can we do this? Can we do that? Like, you've just been like, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Let's do it. And it's
right.
just been kind of very surreal to me that, like, you know, I'm very, very grateful to have you in my life, and it just kind of blows
Aww.
My mind that, like, it's all
oh,
here, like, nice. We're all doing it.
Right. Well, I didn't want to discourage you, because this is the thing, like, my whole thought has always been this, like, yeah, you guys, you know, probably were a little rough around the edges, and, you know, the show was what it was, you know, it was a blog talk show, and you guys were doing your thing. But I've always, from day one, respected the fact that you had the vision to want to do something. Like I always say, like, it's not, I commend, because when I sit there and walk up to someone and say, hey, I've got this, you know, TV show, you know, I want people to receive me well. So I'm always like, I'm always going to receive people's ideas well, because I'm that person too. Like, I'm the person who's going, I've got, you know, a sitcom, you know, and I don't want anybody raining on my parade. Because when I start pitching Grow Up Already to someone, I don't want them to go, yeah, 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 girlfriend. So I'm like, I think it all starts with an idea. Like, it all starts somewhere. And so I was always like, okay, let's do this. you know?
Yeah. You think that it was going to be that easy to just be like, here's my idea, and you'll be like, all right, and then it's happening. Like, it's just...
Right.
It's
remember I told you in the beginning, I said, if we're going to take this to the next level, you have to trust me, and we're going to have to do it. And at some point, you know, the producer in me is going to kick in, and, you know, I'm going to plan the shoot. We're going to have a crew. We're going to do the whole thing. And I appreciate the fact that you trusted me with your idea and allowed me to really try to take it to the next level and try to, you know, because a lot of times I once I get in producer mode, I will run with things. But it's like I have a vision, you know, and I want our package. I always wanted our package when we sat in front of someone to be as good as my girl already. Like people, I've been getting rave reviews on this package. Like it's an amazing thing that I put together with Bob. And you guys met Bob at Morphicon. He's my graphic design, graphic artist, and he's an amazing guy. He works for a huge, you know, firm and out of, I think it is out of Boston. I have to ask him because I can't remember, but he's on the East Coast too. Anyways, this is what he does. Like, he works for, like, Starbucks and McDonald's, and they work for, like, these huge companies. So when he came on board and said, hey, I want to help you with your Grow Up Already package, and I want to, you know, just tweak your pictures and tweak your this and tweak that. And I, you know, his biggest thing was he appreciated the fact that I was a writer. So he was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you wrote all this. And he just was like, well, let me help you package it better. So my whole thing from the very beginning was for us as Unscripted Radio to be on that professional level so that when we have these meetings and do these things, we can do it. And when we all made the pact to, you know, hey, let's take this to the next level, you know, I appreciate the fact that you guys you trusted my producing know-how, you know?
Well, so, I mean, we have no experience in it. And, like, I've seen what you've accomplished with Grow Up Already, and it just kind of, you know, I was in awe, like, this bitch is a go-getter, and we'll get things done. And the amount of things that you were able to pull off in that short amount of time, just, it was so inspirational to me, where I'm like, dude, like, I, you know, I told the director in one meeting, like, I'll follow her anywhere.
Off the cliff we go. Come on, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's fine, as long as we're going out in a blaze of glory.
Right, I know, right? I will never, I will lead you off a cliff, but we sure will. We won't cliff dive, but we'll at least touch the edge. Like, at some point, I feel like Spielberg, I feel like all these, you know, huge producers, I feel like at some point it all started with an idea. So who are we and why are they so much, like, why not us? Like, remember, that was always my theory. Why not us? Why not me?
Right.
You know? So I've always been in that mode of, you know, the worst we can do is not do it. The worst we can do is not try. So we've tried, we've come, we've conquered, we've done Morphicon, and we've had a great week of production for the reality show, and we've got so many things, and it's been an eye-opening experience, I think, for all of us, because it's not been an easy one. We've had some, you know, ups and downs, to say the least. We've had some arguments. We've had some trying times as friends. But I think overall we're very happy with what we shot. You know, we exposed ourselves, don't you think?
I feel naked.
That's cool.
We're definitely naked.
Well, that's probably because you were naked at one point.
Yeah, Mike. I don't ever want to see the donkey again.
I don't think the neighbors do either.
I know. That's why she's yelling at me, the lady.
It's insane. Ooh. I'm so tired. You know, the 6 o'clock hour is really tiring for me. I'm getting old. Oof.
Well, you're 9 o'clock, really, in East Coast time.
That's true. This is true.
Yeah. So it's actually later for you. So, you know, you're winding down your night.
I know, I'm ready for, like, a jug of wine. Can somebody go get me some Carlo Rossi and feed me some grapes, please?
Mm-hmm. Well, the cool thing is we can step back and say that we exposed ourselves and we kept it real and people will be entertained on Unscripted Reality.
Yeah, like poor Mikey. He almost got a vodka bottle upside the head. Sorry about that, Mike. You know I get angry and I don't mean to throw things. It just happens sometimes.
You okay,
we
Mike?
Almost lost our deposit. Oh, I'm good.
Well, Mike did throw a butter knife at you. He did try to stab you with a butter knife. That is illegal in some countries.
That show is.
Next time, Mike, I'll have a sharp knife.
I know. Like, he might as well just came at me with a plastic spoon.
Mm-hmm. That is too funny.
And Miss Katrina, I'll tell you what, that bitch, whew.
Mm-hmm. She's a party girl. She's giving new meaning to party girl.
Like, I really want to send her liver a thank you note. And just let her know how impressed I am.
Yeah.
Like, I swear she's got, like, some kind of thing on the side of her that she can pull her liver out and just, like, wring it out, because that poor thing really... It's amazing. Like, she should be a case study, because we have just consistently been drinking. Like, and not, like, crazy, like, you know, I mean, Mike got annihilated. But, like, Katrina's kind of just stayed at a level of drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still alive for the most part. You know, it's just kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that bitch, I mean, her kidneys really, I mean, they really deserve a round of applause. And I can't find it, otherwise they would have gotten one.
Right. I know. It's so crazy. I mean, I think that's her, though. Like, she's, you can say whatever you want about Katrina, but she's entertaining.
She's such a riot.
Yeah.
But my favorite moment, I think, was when I tried to push you in the pool and you were ready to cut me.
Yeah, I will beat your ass, because you know I just got my weave done. And you know, Keone came over and did my weave, and you were trying to mess up his beautiful work.
Well, I just wanted you to swim with me. I didn't think it was so wrong.
There ain't nothing wrong with that, but you ain't got to push me in so my head goes under.
You'll float on a raft.
How do you swim? How do you swim without getting your hair wet? Hello.
I don't want to have my hair wet. I swim like the movies. Like, I just sit there and look pretty.
We got to go to that store down the street there, and we're going to get this bitch one of those, like, really tight shower caps.
Yeah, I see. We'll do
like
it.
The Olympic ones, like those girls on the Olympics.
Yeah, that's so your hair don't get
like
wet.
The Olympic swimmers, they all look like sperm.
I'm going to get you the... The Michael Phelps do-rag, that's what I'm going to get you.
I know. Wasn't it crazy how Michael Phelps, like, everyone was like, Michael Phelps, Michael Phelps. And then when he got to the Olympics, I mean, you know, it just wasn't, I mean, he'd already won he was eight for eight the last Olympics. So I didn't expect for him to come back and just be 8 for 8 again, and he lost some of the matches, and it was like people were in such a hoo-ha about it. And I was kind of like, it's someone else's time, you know? Like, I can't imagine keeping your body that condition for that long.
Well,
and
what happens when you smoke weed, just saying.
I know. It does slow you down. So you didn't get the memo that weed slows you down?
Just saying. And you did look like you were hungry.
They like weed because it gives them energy. I can't say that I'm a weed connoisseur, but I've always known weed to slow you down.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Smells you out, so you know.
Right, like, I don't understand the whole energy thing.
Me neither. Like, there's this other stuff called cocaine that's supposed to give you the energy. Like, hello. Oh,
right, wrong drug, Michael. Not that we're promoting drugs.
Well, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh gosh. Ay-yi-yi.
Okay, Alpha.
I know. What was I going to tell you guys? So you got to meet the girl who played Alpha at Morphicon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys, it's weird because you guys, we've had Steve on the show, we've had Nakia, we've had Walter. You guys got to meet all these people in person. I mean, what was that like? I mean, you guys are fans, so what was that like?
It was kind of intense. It was intense in the sense that, like, you know, like, I remember the show, obviously, when I was younger, and my brothers were really, you know, into it, and, you know, it was always there, and it was, you know, it's kind of surreal. Like, I never thought 20 years later I'd be doing a radio show with Aisha Campbell and meeting all of her co-stars. Her too. But not, I'm not meeting them as like a fan at the Morphicon. Like, I'm there, I'm working, and I'm working with you, which kind of makes it a different dynamic. You know what I'm saying? So that was so, it's surreal. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that, I don't know, you just don't think, you know, like, I never thought 20 years ago, like, oh, I'm going to know them someday. Like, I, you know, like, especially you. Like, I'm going to talk to her on our cell phone. Like, we text, and we're like BFFs. And, like, it just, the whole thing is just, it's
right. We're very lucky because friendship is like a consolation prize in this business. Like, it's one thing to have like really good working relationship, but we actually are friends, so that's definitely a consolation prize.
Well, and that's kind of how I roll. Like, I'm not whole this like that whole like, well, like, it's just not my thing. Like, that's not how I operate. Like, I feel like you have to be friends with people in order to work with them, or it's just not gonna work.
Right.
Like, I you know, it's just to me, like, I can't. You know, if I don't have a relationship with you at all, or have some kind of rapport, like, being on camera or being on the radio, like, it's just not going to work.
Right, right. That's true. You from day one were like, you have a minute to talk. You would call me and be like, girl. Like, you were like the homie from day one, you know?
Well, and I feel like I got you hooked with all the, like, cause at the time, like, I think I was getting ready to move, and there was just craziness. I would kind of tell you what was going on, and, like, I think the drama kind of hooked you in, because you were like, what? Who, what?
I know. You always had some drama. You always had something going on at your house.
But the best part, it was never, like, mine.
Right. Well, that brings up a good topic of when you approach business. Is it good to mix business with, I guess you could say, quote unquote, pleasure or friendship? Because it's different to have, like, I remember I worked with this one place when I was really young, and I think this was before Power Rangers. Like, it was like a high school job, and one of their mottos was to be friendly but not familiar. So you weren't supposed to like talk to someone like you knew them your whole life, but you were supposed to be friendly enough to give them good customer service. Does that make sense? And so I know some people who they're all business. Like, they have no desire of ever being your friend. It's all business. And that's fine with me. Like, I love it. I'm like, okay, cool. That's the way we roll. We roll. It's all business. But how do you, I mean, you obviously approach it with a more casual, you want to be someone's friend. Like, you're like, I'm not going to be in business with you if I can't be friends with you.
Right. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, like, we're going to be together so much. Like, how can you not?
This is a different situation. Yeah, that's true.
Be friends. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even at any job that I worked at, like, I mean, I'm not, like, I don't keep in touch with a lot of them. You know, but we still see each other, you know, like once in a blue moon we'll get together, you know. You know, and I did end up coming out of it, my jobs, with some really great friends, you know, that I feel like you kind of have to. And, like, I mean, even when I was, like, a manager at places or whatnot, like, I want to be your friend, too. But at the same time, like, I always had, like, business is business, and at the end of the day, you can't get pissed when it's business.
Right.
Like, there is a difference between friendship and business. But I feel like, and if you can be on that same page where, you know, like, you can't get your feelings hurt because of whatever, you know, like, well, you're my friend. How could you do this? Like, boo, 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 boo. Like, put that shit to the side because we're not in high school. Like, we're grown-ups.
Right.
You know, I'm
like that, too. Like, I'm like, we can be friends, but when it's time to work, we need to work.
And let's get our work done. Like, that was one of my biggest things. Like, look, all we need to do is keep on top of our shit. We can fuck up all night long. I don't care. Like, you know, we just need to make sure our shit is done, and then we can just relax. Like, you don't have to
right.
mess your ass, because as long as everything's done, I don't care. Like, I'm not going
right.
to make you go through all this other crazy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we'll get it done. But we have to get what needs to be done first, and then we can have fun.
Right. Right.
And I think
okay.
that's very hard for a lot of people. Like, I think they just can't get that connection. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to yell at anybody. I don't want to get pissed off. I don't want to have to, you know, fight with anybody. Like,
right.
I just don't want to. Like, life's too short to be sitting here fighting constantly. It's ridiculous.
Right. No,
like,
for sure.
Let's get our shit done. Let's make magic. And let's move on. Like, and let's have some fun.
Yeah. And that's crazy because you've actually, I have to say this, working with you has loosened me up because I'm not always I'm more, and Katrina can tell you this, like me and Katrina have gotten so much closer, obviously doing the show every day, and you know, you don't expect to talk to a person every single day. So obviously this is a unique situation. You do get to know people a lot differently in the situation
right.
that we're in. But even when we worked on Grow Up Already, I was very much about business. Like I was, you know, but I had I felt a lot of pressure to make sure we made our day and we did everything we could and I wanted it to come out good. And, you know, so I felt ready when we went in there and I didn't think it was going to be an issue, but I was very serious. Whereas being around you guys have actually loosened me up because I usually have fun doing what I'm doing, but it's like you said, I'm very serious, and then once I see we're almost done with work, then I start having fun. With you guys, I'm forced to just have fun and get it done.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like no matter what your job is, if you're working at Burger King or wherever the hell you're working, like, you have to figure out a way to enjoy it and make it fun. Like,
right.
if you can't do that, like, it's going to suck, and it's going to be horrible. So I feel like
right.
you have to love what you're doing, and you have to figure out a way to have fun with it. Because if you, like, I can be very serious and just get into work mode, and it's, you know, like, one-track mind. And
right.
it really, like, but it's kind of a downfall, because I do it to a major fault. It destroys in my life, like, the fact that we waited to, like, 3 weeks before the shoot to book the rental house was not good.
I know,
but
and I every day would text you. I text you every day, have you guys taken care of the house? And you would never text me back, Peter. You were like,
well, I just didn't want you to stress out. Because, you know,
but
I mean,
like,
it was like, and my mother.
It's a major location.
I know,
like,
and my mother was like,
guys?
No. Yeah,
like, I was like, you wanted the house, why don't we have the house booked?
Because here's my other thing is I can get very indecisive.
Uh-huh.
And it is very hard for me to make choices on some stuff. Like this, to me, is a big choice. And I kind of buckle. And I get very stressed out because I don't know the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know, like, is this going to be too far? Is this the right place? Is this house
right?
Does it have the right look? Like, that's when I start to get bogged down because then I'm like, okay. I don't know, and I don't want to make the wrong choice. Like, that's when I, like, go into, like, crazy mode. And, like, that's part of the problem. It's, like, it's really a fault that I just can't say, like, I'm not comfortable making this choice on my own. I need help because I don't want to fuck up, and I don't want to be the reason why we're in trouble. Or, you know, like, and I'm, quite frankly, was petrified because, like, I found this one house that looked amazing. And looked great, and I was like, okay, maybe we should get this, like, it's available. And I was like, oh, there's a few reviews on it, let me check the reviews. And the newest one's talking about it's infested with roaches, there was bugs on the bed, all this crazy shit. But now all the other reviews were positive. But I'm like, that one review, and, like, the people responded back, they're like, oh, we're sorry, like, we cleaned before, every people come in, this is California. It happens, and I'm just like, no, bitch, it doesn't happen, because I lived in Arizona, and there was roaches everywhere, but it's called you spray the foundation of your home so they know roaches in there, because if I walked in and there was a fucking roach in the house, that would be all she fucking wrote. I would be up the manager's ass of the house, or the owner, whoever, like, I would be up their ass, give me my motherfucking money because I'm going to stay at the hotel.
Right. Oh.
And then I'm going home and getting a lawyer, and I'm going to sue their fucking ass because that would be the mental duress. I mean, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Right, right. Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, no, but the thing was, I think at one point I finally sent you an email and was like, it doesn't matter what neighborhood, because I didn't think about it. We, you know, you guys had a car. So it was like, we can drive anywhere we need to go, just as long as it's not, like, so far away. But some of the things that you guys were looking at were in, like, Eagle Rock, and those areas, it actually is close. So I was like, you know what? It's all good. Let's just get it going, you know.
Well,
and
it's hard,
whatever you are comfortable in saying. Because my whole thought was I never wanted to pose my opinion on it because it was you guys were sleeping there. So I was like,
right,
you know, this has to be comfortable for you, you know.
Well, it's not even really about comfort for me. Like, my biggest nervous problem was, like,
mm-hmm,
being in the right area. Like, I wanted to make sure. Because I don't, you know, like, I know how Mike is. If we have to drive an hour every day, it's going to
be bad.
Because he's going to lose his fucking mind. I'll be okay.
Hold
like,
up.
Won't
I drive an hour to work now.
Exactly. And you're miserable.
No.
You are crazy. You do not do car trips. Thus, you flew into L.A. and not Vegas.
Yeah, that's a 4.5-hour car trip. I drive 2 hours round trip every day for work now. That
you
doesn't
do
bother me.
Every day then I talk to you after work, you're like, oh, I've been in the car so much today, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that's when I'm driving 3 hours to one place, and it takes 3 hours to get there. But every day my work, I drive an hour there and an hour back.
Wow.
I've been doing that for almost 2 years, so an hour and a half car trip doesn't bother me. When
okay,
you're talking 4.5 hours, yeah, if there's an easier way to do it,
you know what? When this thing
my
gets
whole
picked
thought
up,
has always been, my whole thought has always been, though, it's one thing, L.A. traffic is a whole other beast. So I was kind of like, no, stay close because you don't want to be stuck in L.A. traffic. Like, it's just, it'll put me in a bad mood. It'll put everybody in a bad mood. And then my
dude, I'm bringing my iPod. Somebody else is chauffeuring my ass around. It's like New York City. It took me 45 minutes to get to work on the subway. I put on my iPod and I peeped out. That was me time.
Yeah, but still, it's like I needed you guys to make sure you guys weren't on, make sure you were on time, make sure those kind of things, you know. So, but
right,
it all worked out. We found a place that was comfortable, and you know, so we got a nosy neighbor, and it is what it is. So, but so I mean, yeah, but this whole thing, like I will say, you guys have changed me. I like to have fun when I work, but it's like the work leading up to, I'm usually not so, you know, it's different, like you said, it's different going into, kind of going into a business, because that's kind of what we're doing, with people you know on a more personal level. I typically don't go into business with friends, you know?
Right.
I typically keep it business, so... I don't know, Mike, you've been quiet through the whole thing. What are your thoughts?
I don't think business and friendship mix. Like, it's, you know, it's funny because Jill, our director, and I actually had this whole conversation, you know, months ago when we were doing our interviews. And, like, with the reality show, you kind of have no choice, you know, because the angle we're going for, you have to have those sort of extracurricular beyond business relationships built in. You almost
mm-hmm.
kind of have, because, I mean, we're not doing, you know, The Apprentice, you know. We're doing our own spin on sort of Jersey Shore, you know, it has
mm-hmm.
a built-in business aspect to it. So you have to have that. But normally would I choose to go into business with friends? No. I think it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but who's the one that creates that disaster, bitch?
Which is why I don't go into business with friends. People I work with.
Well, maybe
like,
you just shouldn't go
in
business,
friends.
Period. Like, it's not on you.
I would have no issue going into business for myself, and I would be very successful at it.
I think you'd probably kill yourself.
But with Amy and I, like, we, you know, we are friends. We're outside of work, and we're friends at work. But I'm not, like, friends with my boss, or, you know, I would never want to go into business with her. I just think it's, unless it's something where you're creating art, you know, like in our case with the reality show, you kind of have to. No, would I willingly choose to do that? No. I learned that from my dad a long time ago. You don't mix business with friends and you don't mix business with family.
Well, when I came to you with the whole radio show, I mean, it was like something you guys were, like when I came to you guys seemed to both be on the same page of taking it to the next level. Like you always seem to have aspirations to make it bigger. And you, like, we want it to be big. So, I mean, you signed on for that, but that's kind of the same thing.
The only way that has worked was because we were friends before, and quite frankly, I learned a long time ago, it's better just to let Jeffrey run with his crazy-ass ideas and fight him on it, because eventually, 6 months later, he's going to wear you down anyway, so.
Well, look what that
Which
crazy
is so
idea
is ridiculous, because for him to sit there and act like, oh, my crazy ideas, he got into it way more at one point than I did. Like, he was the one that fell in love with this. Too. So I love that he always tries to make it like, oh, I never really wanted to do it. I just gave Jeffrey his way. Like, I called
you
one day. You
were so on board. Like, you were so, like, you were so excited about it all. What happened? Because you were. Like, I'm just saying, like, remember, like, 6 months ago, you were really excited about it. And the thought of coming to L.A. and the thought of doing a reality show. I mean, you even told me, like, your dream growing up was to be, like, a talk show host like Ricky Lake and to do the whole shebang, you know. And so this is kind of that opportunity in a roundabout way, hosting a radio show, doing this reality show. You know, it was like this big adventure we were all going to have.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. I'm grateful for the opportunity, but, you know, it's like, that was 6 months ago. I mean, people's opinions change and things change, you know.
Mm.
I mean, I'm more or less enjoying sitting back and along for the ride at this point.
Oh, my God. Sometimes I just don't even. Now, see, this is where, okay, I do know business and pleasure can be rough.
Yeah.
You know, because I've had bad experiences, but I've also had great experiences. You know, and I think if everybody's on the same page, it's going to go wonderfully. But when you're not on the same page, like, it's a problem. And I think that's kind of what happened. Somewhere along the lines, Mike kind of went left, and everybody was supposed to go right. And I'm not really sure what happened. And it, you know, it's kind of put this crack in all of us, which everybody will see on the reality show, that it's kind of been a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand it, because to me it just doesn't even make sense. I'm not sure how it started, why it happened. So hopefully you guys will get to find out on the reality show what the fuck just happened.
I know. I hate that you're not excited, because we were, like, all so excited. And, you know, even leading up to, you know, you would email me different houses, and you were like, these are my faves. And I was like, they look great. Pick whichever one you want. It looks great, you know, or just the whole shebang. But you're right. People have the right to, their feelings definitely can change, and their direction can definitely change. So I get that. But, yeah, I remember the good old days. Dreaming a dream. Wishing a wish, you know.
Now Mikey's all quiet on it.
Even with the good, the bad, and the ugly, it has been an eye-opening experience for me, a life-changing experience for me. And I will say, like, I am typically not the person who I'm usually all about business and kind of really focused and just doing the radio show every day. You guys have really loosened me up, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful to laugh more, you know, and to enjoy life more. I was just going to say, and I never thought I would do a reality show. I was always like the serious actress, you know. I was like, who would be interested in me? Me as a person is boring, but an actress is exciting. So, I don't know. What were you saying, Jeffrey?
Well, I think, like, Mike and I had said, I don't know how many times, like, after we'd get done with a show, and, like, you would start to be a little more racy and kind of say some stuff that would shock us all, and even Katrina would be like, and we're like, God, we really messed with this chick. Like, we've really brought her down. We got her. It's been great. My reputation
so
perceived
me. Reaction. She was so shocked. That's what's so funny. Like, Katrina, if you think you can't shock her, but I guess you can.
I know there was more than one occasion where we were all just sitting there with our mouths open, like, did she really just say that? Like that one thing the guy called in.
What's funny is that I would say that with my, like, I would say that in a personal conversation with my friends. Like, after I said
right.
It kind of changed for me at one point where it became, you know, you say these things. Like, that's what the show came to. It became a show where if we're going to be unscripted, let's truly be unscripted. So it was one of those things.
Right.
So, it did take a turn. I would remember I used to always go, it took, I'm going to be on the dark side. Like, I used to call it the dark side. Oh,
and even Mikey, when we started, was so, he was much more serious.
Uh-huh.
And, like, over the year, you know, he's definitely loosened up, and Lord, he's given us some shockers. I mean, some of the things that come out of it. But he, like, and that's the thing, like, I don't even think he realizes how funny he truly is. I mean, when we all get together, and, like, he'd come for New Year's or whatever, and, like, Amy was here at my house, and everybody would, like, go to the house, he is just hysterical. I mean, that kid makes my gut hurt. Like, he is so funny, like, genuinely. And he doesn't even try. Like, it's so natural for him. Like, I have to work at it. Like, I have to try to be funny, and it doesn't always work. Where him, he just spits something out, and it's like, what?
Right.
Like,
no, yeah, he's definitely quick-witted. And, yeah, there's definitely a good, it's like a really cool, dry sense of humor, but that's, like, the funniest because you don't expect it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone has a big personality, you expect for us to try to say something funny because we got big personalities. Where Mike's a little
right.
bit more reserved, and when he says something, it's so funny and so in the moment. So, yeah, I agree.
I mean, Mike, when was it? What happened? It was when you brought, it must have been Joe's birthday, where you came with Amy and you guys brought the Jello shots. You broke the wine open and the liquor bottles out in front of my house. And then we were all in the living room, and you, like, spit your drink out all over my coffee table. What the hell did you say? What was that? I mean, Amy and I were in hysterics.
No, I don't remember. Somebody else said, I don't remember. Or it was something I was thinking in my head. I really don't know.
You started spitting your drink out all over the coffee table, and then you just stood there with your mouth open and let it all pour out on the table, and he looks at me without missing a beat and dead serious, and he goes, sorry, Fresh. And, I mean, Amy and I just, I mean, we were bowled over. Like, my guts hurt. I couldn't breathe, laugh. Like, it was bad.
That's funny.
I mean, he is just a freaking riot. Like, and that's why I love him. Like, he is just so funny. Like, and it's just so unexpected. Like, he just comes out, like, I mean, the one day I'd call him and he'd be like, Papita, Papita, is that you? Papita Fresh. And then, like, that, you know, like, that's almost what the show got named, with Papita Fresh.
How did you come up with the name of Unscripted Radio? I don't think a lot of people know that.
You know, I don't even know. I think Mike actually came up with the name.
Yeah.
I used to have a blog on my Ricky Lake site that was called Unscripted the Blog. So then, you know, I think initially it was Unscripted with Mike and Jeff, and then I think it just sort of morphed into Unscripted Radio when you girls came along. But that's why the Facebook page still says Unscripted with Mike and Jeff, because, well, you know, what's-his-face is an asshole and won't let you change the page after
having
right. one
he
like
doesn't
one like.
Yeah. That's true. I've tried to change a couple things. Remember, Grow Up already was Grown Up, and then we changed the name, and it was like, you can't change this. And you're like, ugh. Like, it's so dumb. Like, some of those rules are dumb. See, that's a story I never knew. I never knew where Unscripted came from. And so, Jeffrey,
yeah,
you came up with the idea. Tell me what you said to Mike the day you called him and were like, I've got this idea.
I think it was actually at night. Because I had been on Rosie Radio. It was, like, towards the end of her show. Like, and there was these, Jeanette, one of her producers, was going to go on this show, the After Row show that I had heard about. So I was like, what the hell is this After Row show? So I went and searched it, found it, and I listened that night, and it was on Blog Talk. I had never heard of it. And, like, they were doing the show. What?
She was on Blog Talk?
Rosie called it, I think, for them. But, I mean, her show wasn't. It was just the After Row show that some fans had started. Where, like, all of Rosie's family, I mean, their show was actually quite successful on Blog Talk, that they would do, I think they did it once a week on Mondays, and people could call in and they'd talk about what, like, they talked about on Rosie's show during the week, and then, you know, like, one of the producers or whoever would call in, and, like, the last After Row show was, it had to be over a month or so before Rosie's show ended, and, like, Jeanette called in, her producer, whatever, and I got to call in and just tell him, like, how awesome I thought it was. And I found this Blog Talk and kind of looked about it, and I called Mike and was like, Mike, so it's just blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what do you think? And he was like, let's do it. Like, he was excited. So I don't know why he tried to play it off like he was like, ugh. Because I didn't have to beg him to do nothing. I just kind of ran the idea, and he's like, well, let's give it a try. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Right. What do we got to lose? Why not me? Why can't we have a
I think even before, like, the first week, this kid, like, had the website done. And had all these graphics stuff. Like, it was, like, it came together, like, really quickly. I think we did our first show maybe, like, less than a week after we decided. Like, we didn't even have a name, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, let's do it.
Oh, so you went on air without a name at first?
No, I don't even think. Do we have the name first, Mike?
I don't know, because we did a couple of test pilot shows, and I think it didn't really have a name at that point. We didn't even have any music. And then I think the name and music came sort of after, like, a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at first it was only a half an hour show.
Right. And who listened? Yes. Your family?
Pretty much, that was it.
Well, not his, because he never told nobody. It was all me plugging shit. And then I think I was like, well, let's get Madison, because I saw Madison, like, was constantly posting on his Facebook wall. And I had a big following, so we got Madison, brought Madison in, and then I don't remember who came first, if it was Christina or Madison. I'm not sure which one.
So Christina was, okay, so, I totally forgot. Christina was on the show as a host at one point.
Well, she was like the screener slash,
she'd kind of jump in,
like,
and give you some female energy.
Yeah, like she was, she was screening the show and, like, doing, and coming on, and, So she was definitely a part of the show. Yeah, so, like, but, I mean, in the beginning, we changed, like, she left after a couple of weeks. I mean, because it was tough. Like, people did not realize, like, you know, at the time, like, we didn't really know what we were doing, and we were trying all these different things, and, you know, like, I had hired somebody to help me with daycare, so that at nap time and stuff, I could sit down and, like, plan the shows out for that night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were done the day of. Like, I mean, so it was fresh. Like, it was, you know, it was whatever was going on in the news that day is what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I posted an ad on Facebook looking for producer or whatever, and then one of the daycare moms, Allie, joined us, who was on when you first came on. I don't even know if you guys really ever got to do a show together, maybe once?
I remember Allie. I think we did one show together. I remember that.
Yeah, because it wasn't too long after you came on that, like, her schedule, like, and that's the other thing, like, the scheduling for this, it's just tough on people. Like, it's just really hard, especially to do five nights a week and not get paid. Like, even if it's a passion, like, it's tough.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, it's tough on us, and we have a passion for it, and we're, you know, We have yet to see the fruits of our labor.
I know. Well, we're about to, damn it.
Right. Exactly. That's the whole point of L.A. is to get our shit together so that we can have fruits. We can have a real package so that we have, you know, we can move forward, you know. But, yeah. Okay. See, I never knew any of this. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely kind of crazy. I mean, like, I at this point, you know, like when you just do something for so long, like the shows all blend together for me. I don't remember, like, you know, this, you know, and I don't remember what my life was like without it anymore.
Right.
Like, I don't remember what it was like because, you know, before I had my shows, every night of the week there was some show I had to watch. Like, I had a schedule. Now, I don't even watch TV. Like, I watch Dallas and Franklin and Bash, True Blood, and Drop the Diva. I can't, I don't have no time to watch nothing else. I mean, I think I'm 4 episodes behind on Dallas. Like, I mean, it's bad. Like, I just can't keep up.
Yeah, you might want to get your DVDR out, your catch up on that shit. Take a, you should have taken a week off and watched it.
I know. Well, it's over now. It ended, I think, last week, the week before we came to L.A., I think. I'm not even really sure. I mean, I'm just so behind on everything. I just can't keep up. It's been kind of crazy. I'm just getting ready, and then the wedding. And I mean, there was just so much going on, I just couldn't keep up with anything.
Yeah, I don't know what happened
and
just
now,
but I'm
missing fucking Shark Week.
You and the shark.
Let it go.
I don't know.
Let it go.
Well, Shark Week's over. I mean, it was last week. I think it ended
Right.
But
right.
It's just so agitating. Like, you know, we're at the Power Morphicon, and it's like the last hurrah for Shark Week, and I'm like, son of a bitch.
Shark Week is not important in the grand scheme of things, homeboy.
I know it's not, but it's very devastating for me, and I'm going to have a clause in my contract that there will be no filming the week of Shark Week.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so Mike, what's the clause in your contract? If he's got the no filming during Shark Week, I'm anxious to hear what your clause would be.
You know, I'd have to get back to you. I really don't have too many exclusions I would put in there.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'd want the standard, you know, like online streaming rights and that stuff. You know, I want all that built in, but...
Online what?
Well, you know, because I'm not trying to get screwed out of something if it goes on Netflix or Hulu.
Oh, well,
like
not that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not talking like our deal with the network. I'm talking like silly stuff. Like, you know how people have a writer and they're like, in my dressing room, I need to have 5 white candles, 8 lilies, and bag of Cheetos. And every time I have So
well,
like, Jeffrey's like, if we're shooting unscripted reality, it must not conflict with Shark Week.
Well,
me,
you know, I would just want the, you know, the week between Christmas and New Year's off and then some time around Thanksgiving. But other than that.
Oh, well, see, you're easy because that's, you know, Hollywood shuts down. No one works the whole month, practically
well,
the whole month of December. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's the best business you can be in because they shut it down. You know, because the thing is like, we may have, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, but at the same time, they're having a lot of the Jewish holidays. And Hollywood is pretty much run by a lot of Jewish people, and they shut it down. They don't do anything. Like, it's like, we're not working at all, people.
Well,
so it's perfect.
I thought it should be for everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Like, and that's honestly, like, that's why I went into business for myself, because I want, when I want to take time off, I want to take time off. And especially if we have to, like, you know, the radio show, whatever, and we end up in L.A., like, I'm going home. Like, I need at least a month off in the summer. Like, it's not negotiable, because I'm going home.
Right.
Like, I'll take less money, but I'm telling you, I'm taking a month off in the summer to go home.
And the most reality is they're shot in, like, 2 months.
Right. Well, I mean, especially even for the radio show. Like, if they can't figure out, if I can't have a studio at my house in New York, like, I don't, you know, like, I'm going to be missing. You better have somebody fill in.
it's probably cheaper for them for you to come out, you know, to shoot at your home. Like, they'll give you a piece of equipment and you can just log in. And, you know, a lot of people do it nowadays because there's no reason for you to have to go. Nowadays, there's good enough microphones and good enough laptop computers and good enough at-home systems that you don't have to, you know, check in at a studio, even though we will. But, you know, like, that's kind of our thing. Like, I always wanted our...